Topic is scripture memory. And you may have asked yourself, when you heard about what was going to be spoken on, what on earth are they talking to an adult group like this about something that's so childish as memory? Aren't there more sophisticated things that we could be dealing in? Some of the more basic and deeper truths of the scriptures? And I'm sure there are. Some of you may have thought, well, this is just another detail to add to an already busy schedule. I've got plenty to do now as it is, much less spend some of my busy time, busy and important time, and you're right, your time is busy and important, but spend some of this time memorizing Scripture. But these responses are usually based on a negative reaction that we developed in grade school or in high school or perhaps even in college, or at least was reinforced in college, and we had to do some memory on some material which we didn't want to do, which we didn't enjoy and didn't see the point of. And so we have this negative reaction to memory all of our lives. And I say college, I had a professor in one course that I was waiting for the day on one of her tests where she asked the page that a certain bit of information was presented in the text. Dr. Chung Bing Ling, tremendous teacher, tremendous psychologist, but a different kind of personality. Very detailed. But memory isn't an end in itself. We don't memorize Scripture to memorize Scripture. We memorize Scripture to reach a goal, or as a means of achieving a goal. Now, if you're like me, you may set yourself a goal out there. I want to do so-and-so, or I want to be such-and-such. And as you're working towards your goal, you come across a problem. All of a sudden, here's this problem. So you start solving the problem. Well, if it's a difficult problem to solve, you're finally so intent on this problem in trying to solve it, you forget all about the goal and never reach it. Well, scripture memory, as I said, is a means of achieving a goal. And Paul, I think, stated this fairly well, Philippians 3:10, when he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know him, and I want to experience the power of his resurrection. I want to experience his resurrected life in my life, and I want to grow in my knowledge of him. That was Paul's goal, and that should be our goal. As I said, scripture memory is a means of attaining this. John 20, verse 31 says, but these are written, or these stories, or these incidents from the life of Christ are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It's through the Word that we learn of Christ. It's through the Word that we grow in our knowledge of Christ. A verse that some of you are familiar with, or perhaps all of you, I'm sure, it's in the Beatitudes, 1 John 1:3, says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and so on. But the basis of fellowship, the basis of growth, the basis of maturing our Christian life, and coming to know Christ, and coming to know God, is the Scriptures. Now, if you were to ask me to boil down Christianity into its common denominator, or should I say the thing that makes it tick, what is basic to Christianity, I would say faith. Now, faith is what I had when I heard or when I realized that I was a sinner, but when I discovered that the answer to my problem was found in Jesus Christ. That if I would accept Christ as my Savior, trust my future to Him, and follow Him, submit myself to His will. If I accepted Him as Savior by faith, I became a Christian. So my faith was essential to my being a Christian. It's by faith that I live the Christian life. It's by faith that I believe that God will enable me to overcome sin, or enables me to overcome sin. It's by faith that I believe that God will provide for my every need, both physical and spiritual. It's by faith that I waited for a wife for a number of years, praying about it, believing that God would bring into my life the right person, which he did. It's by faith. Faith is the basis of the Christian life, not only in terms of salvation, but in terms of living. Well, what is the source of faith? The source of faith, Romans 10:17, a passage we're familiar with, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This passage is speaking about salvation, but it gives the basis of faith. Faith, our faith is based on the word. Your faith has to be pinned to something. Certain people, for example, if they were to borrow my car, I would have questions about loaning it to them, because I know what their car is like. Yeah, I've seen, you know, I've seen the shape of their car. But other people who would want to borrow my car, I'm very happy to loan it to them, because I've seen how they've cared for their own personal equipment. So your faith, your belief in something, has to be based on something. And the basis for our faith in the Christian life is the Word of God. Christ said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You can't just live on physical food. You have to live on spiritual food also if you are going to survive the Christian life, or survive as a Christian. Or as John said last night, if you're going to end well. Now, where are we going? First, you talked about memory, and then we talked about the importance of the Scriptures for growth, maturity. Now we're talking about faith. What is the purpose? What am I getting at? Well, how do we get to know Christ? Through the Word. What is the basis of our faith? What do we base our faith on? What do we base our life on? The Scriptures. What is Scripture memory? It's a means of acquiring or developing a knowledge of the Scriptures. It's a means to an end. It's a means, it's a device, a tool that we can use to help us grow and mature in our Christian lives. Now, actually, there are four basic methods of learning anything. If you're learning a profession or learning a trade or in college, in school, whatever you're doing, you're going to use one or a combination of four approaches. Hearing is one, reading is another, studying is the third, memory is the fourth. No matter what you do, you use one of each, or not one of each, or one or a combination of them. And these, of course, are the way we learn the Scriptures. Now, if the Scriptures are important to our lives, perhaps we ought to use all four. I think personally that unless a person is using all four, he's hurting himself. He's denying himself a blessing. He's shortcutting himself. When I was in college, it was important for me to graduate from college. I just wanted to. And I used all four. I was a fanatic when it came to studying. In fact, sometimes I think I studied a little too much. But I used all four. I wanted to get that diploma, and I succeeded. Well, I want to be the kind of Christian that brings honor and glory to Christ. If that's really true, I'll be using all four. Now, just briefly, let's consider each one so we know what I mean. Hearing, the question might be, well, which is the most important? Well, I'd say all are equally important because each has a unique goal. Through hearing the Word, you hear what somebody else has gleaned from the Scriptures, somebody else's experience, what God has revealed to somebody else. Last night, we learned from John Crawford. We've learned what God had shared with John. So hearing, you get somebody else's insight into the Word. Through reading, reading gives you a panoramic viewpoint of the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, kind of a bird's eye view. It ties the whole thing together, the whole book. Study, a little more detail, taking a chapter or a passage or a topic or a character, and getting down and finding out what's really there, dissecting it, and coming up with what some of the hidden meanings and some of the hidden truths there in the Scripture. Memory, this is something different. This is something unique. This is making a part of your thinking or my thinking God's Word. It's actually taking a portion of Scripture and placing it in our minds for ready recall. Okay, well, what does the Bible have to say about Scripture memory? Well, Proverbs 7, an old standby. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee, or store up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. And how do you do that? Bind them upon thy fingers, Write them upon the table of thine heart. Make them a part of thy thinking. Make them a part of your innermost being. How do you keep God's words? How do you store up His commandments? How do you make them the center of your attention, the apple of thine eye? By writing them on the table of your heart. It requires effort. Psalm 119, 9-11 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." How can a person lead a Christian life? By being aware of the Scriptures, by knowing what they say. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I've made it a part of my life so that I can have an opportunity, or so that I can have the opportunity of leading the Christian life, so that I might not sin against thee. Another passage, Deuteronomy 11:18. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign upon thy hands, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and your soul. What does the word lay up mean? Store. Put in storage God's word in your heart and your soul. Well, why would you store it up? What do you need to store God's word up for? What do you need to store anything for? Because of future need. Because at some time you can't get what you need, and you need to store it now. You know, we buy everything from wholesale warehouses here in town, most everything. And we knew you folks were coming in Sunday. We knew we had to feed you something. So we purchased food last week and stored it for when the stores were closed. You store for a future need. The farmer stores his crops in the fall. Why? So he can have something to eat and something to sell in the wintertime. Have you ever had a need in your life and there was no source of encouragement? There was no one you could turn to? There was no place you could go to for a spiritual uplift? Oh, I have. I had that lots of times in the Army, where we were going night and day, and there was, you know, the chaplain. I had unique experience in the services. I was never around a good chaplain. Some men were fortunate otherwise. But I had no one to go to frequently for spiritual encouragement. Well, what do I do? Do I sink? No. I had God's word stored up in my heart. It was a part of my thinking. A friend of mine once said, "Memorizing Scripture gives the Holy Spirit a vocabulary that He can use to communicate to me or to you or to us at any time." God speaks to us through the Word, isn't that right? Well, that's right. God's Word, stored up in your heart, is a ready resource for the Holy Spirit to use. So memory is a means of storing up God's Word for a future time of spiritual drought or spiritual need. Jeremiah 17:1 paints a pretty sad picture of what happened. This is Judah was in spiritual trouble, and this apparently was Jeremiah's analysis of the problem. It says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." I read that a number of years ago and I thought, no, wait a minute now. They were told to write God's word in their heart, but it wasn't there. Instead, sin was indelibly engraved. Sin was indelibly etched. Sin was a basic part of their heart and core. And I wonder if that happened, if that could have happened because they had never written God's word in their heart. I don't believe the two can coexist. I think a man's life will be controlled by God or by sin. So perhaps we have a choice to make. What is going to rule our thinking? Sin or God's word? Now, I've been with the Navigators for a number of years, and I've introduced a number of folks to Scripture memory. And basically speaking, there's just a certain number of objections that people can bring up. Just a certain number of things they can say. There's only, and I've only found 7 of them. Now, if somebody has a new one, I'd appreciate hearing it. But thus far, I've run across 7. The first objection to scripture memory that a person makes, and I think this is an honest one, by the way, the person says, well, I don't have enough time. You have no idea what a busy schedule I have. And that's right. Everybody has a busy schedule. No kidding. In fact, Dawson Troutman, who was the founder of the Navigators, used to belabor this point, and he'd say, in fact, I'm sure even the bums, the hobos, don't have enough time to do everything they want to do. They're even short of time. Well, Harvey Cox, one of our staff here in the Glen, was going to Oakland City College. We were all out there in Oakland in those days. He was laying out in the lawn, basking in the sun, you know, in between classes. And this bum walked up and asked for a dime for a cup of coffee. Well, Harvey apologized, said, I really don't have a cent. He was probably telling the truth in those days. But went on and started witnessing to the fellow, telling him about Jesus Christ, how he could change his life, make him into a new creature. And you know what the bum said, this hobo? He says, well, you know, I've always wanted to do something about that, but I just never have had time. So Doss was right. Even the hobo doesn't have enough time to do what he wants to do. In other words, not having enough time is relative. Now, it depends what your goals are, what your interests are. Last year, well, this year for that matter, every summer, those who are involved in conferences lead a pretty busy schedule. And I was busy last year. I really was. But my fiancé was here on the Glen last year. And no matter how busy I was, I found that I always had time to take Carolyn out. I could always work it into my schedule. Why? I wanted to. I thought it was important. And it was important. Well, just an example of what you can do in a busy schedule if you really want to. Scripture memory. Now, and if this is your objection, and this is your question, really, we have the course designed just for you because it's called Scripture Memory for Busy People. That's the slogan. If you're busy, this is what will work for you. And it can be done, you can use it to buy up those few odd moments in the day that were used for other things, perhaps less important, or maybe just wasted. I used to read the paper when I first started memorizing scripture. I'd buy the San Francisco Chronicle before I get in the streetcar and ride to work, and I'd read that all the way in. Well, then I got started in scripture memory. And before long, I was doing my memory work on the way to work and reading the paper at lunch instead. Now, don't let me deceive you. Eventually, it will take time. Once you get hooked on memory and realize the benefit and realize the advantage, it'll take some time. But that's 4 or 5 years from now. At least 4 or 5 years after you've been started. So if time is a problem, give this course a consideration. That's the topical memory system. Okay, another objection people bring up is I'm not smart enough. Well, I've tried this before. It just hadn't worked. And of course, the verse they claim is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, except memorize Scripture. That's their life verse. And this person has probably never tried it because it really isn't hard at all. We've had 7-year-old boys finish the memory course, quote every verse, word perfect, references fore and aft at one sitting. And we've had grandmothers finish the memory course, do exactly the same thing. So you're neither too young nor too old nor too dumb. No excuse. Well, somebody else might say, well, this is for the minister. It's not for the layman. It's for the professional, not for us amateurs. They're missing the point. Scripture memory, or more accurately, the scriptures, they're designed or their purpose is growth, not ministry. You don't learn the Bible to minister. You learn the Bible to grow. And the ministry is a result of the growth. However, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. 5:18? No. That's 5:18. That's right. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
He was speaking to the Corinthians, and if you know the story about the Corinthians, you know they weren't professionals. They were laymen, just like us. So although the Bible was given primarily for growth and secondarily for ministry, we're actually all called to minister anyway. Another objection is the fact that scripture memory is too mechanical. For some reason, the nebulous, the ethereal, the vague is supposed to be more spiritual than mechanical. But the real value of memory is frequently not realized until a later date. I memorized a verse in the TMS. I hadn't thought of this. In 1952. And in 1958, God used it in my life. And it was literally a turning point in my life. That's how many years? That's 6 years later? And I thought I knew what it meant, but I didn't know what it said for 6 years. And I was walking down a staircase, and just at mulling over this problem, this dilemma I was in, nothing was working out right. The whole world had sort of turned its back on me, I felt. I was all alone. Nobody loved poor Russ Reed. I didn't know what I was going to be doing next. I had absolutely no idea. Everything I'd ever held on to before in life was disappearing. And all of a sudden, Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness or grasping or wanting, but be content with such things as ye have, or be happy as you are, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh. I'm not supposed to be concerned about my problems, or I'm not supposed to be content with what I have because it's what I have. Rather, I am supposed to be content with what I have, or I'm supposed to be content with my situation because I have Christ. In fact, I am supposed to be content with Christ and not worry about my situation. Oh, I see. Why, perfect peace. 6 years after I memorized it. I think memorizing that verse was very mechanical. I don't think I got very much out of it. I may have. I don't recall what I got out of it when I memorized it in 52. But in 58, I think it saved my life. I think it settled me down and steadied me and realized that God was interested in me. Made me realize God's in me. By the way, mechanics, I have another personal experience. When I was a boy, a young man, younger, with my parents, I was rebellious, and as most boys, I didn't like brushing my teeth. I didn't use the phrase "it was too mechanical," but that was about what it amounted to. 2 years later, and a couple thousand dollars later, mechanics aren't necessarily wrong. Say, when I say a couple thousand dollars later, I'm being conservative. You just can't say mechanics are bad. It depends what the goal is, what you're using for. Okay? Now, here's a good one. Somebody uses it on me once. So-and-so, he quoted a name, doesn't memorize. Look at him. He's a successful Christian. He's a successful evangelist. He's a mature Christian. What about that? Well, the question more accurately is he a success because of it or in spite of it? True, there are many godly people who've never memorized scriptures as I do. Or as the navigators recommend. That's right, there's lots of them. We can list them. But they're not spiritual successes because they don't memorize Scripture. And isn't there a possibility that this may have had an impact on their life at one time? An impact they needed if they'd done. You can't say. And then, the sixth, I think this one has a lot of bases, at least to casual observation has a lot of basis, and that is that scripture memory ministers to pride. Now, we have a problem in the navigators, and that is we get a person, the B rations, he memorizes it, and he's young, he's immature, and he's about ready to shape the whole world up, or at least all of Christianity. He'll tell the pastor what's wrong with the church and what's wrong with him and how to do it, or he'll tell the chaplain, you know, how to correct the situation at the base. We call them B-ration boys. But actually, Satan is a source of pride, not the Scriptures. So you can't say that memorizing Scripture would minister to pride. And this is a real problem with someone you went across sometime. They're really worried about this. Recommend that they memorize a few verses on humility first, and then continue on in the memory program. Then somebody else says, well, I tried it once, but it didn't work. I tried memorizing Scripture at one time, but it didn't prove successful. Well, were you started right? Was the system that you used adequate? Boy, there's nothing more discouraging than having memorized a verse and coming back to it a few weeks later and it's not there. You've forgotten. I'm sure we've all had this experience. And of course, the key to here is review. And any memory system you have has got to provide a means of regular and systematic review. So you can occasionally, periodically, on a regular basis, go over the verses you have. Now, the topical memory system, the verses that are in this course, the 108 verses, are good. They're basic Scripture. They're designed to minister to the needs of the young Christian and the older Christian. Basic passages of Scripture. Key passages of Scripture. They'll change your life. They really will. But as far as I'm concerned, that although these 108 verses will have a tremendous impact on a person's life, the memory course has one more aspect of it that's even more important, that even overshadows the effect of these verses. And that is, as I alluded before, it gives you a system, a workable, practical system of memory and review, so that you can memorize those 108 verses and memorize other 108. And then another 108. You can be memorizing 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. You can still be storing up God's Word in your heart. I can still be knowing, I can still be learning God's Word from memory and having the benefit of this years from now. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that thrilling? Be a walking Bible. One of our representatives, Roy Robertson, started memorizing in World War II, been memorizing ever since, and he commented in a meeting, or to me, I forgot which it was, that he had most of Paul's books, most of the letters memorized, just picking a verse here and there. And right now he was just kind of tidying the whole thing up by memorizing the connecting verses. Whole books memorized. Well, there's no advantage in having books memorized, particularly, unless God speaks to you through them, but that's a blessing. Some of my most richest times of fellowship with God have been alone, driving across country, or driving across country at night, or when everybody else in the car is asleep or something, you know, for an hour through Nevada or someplace, and just having the Holy Spirit bring verses to mind, passages to mind, and then another passage to mind, and then another passage to mind. And here I'm doing Bible study, 70 miles an hour, middle of nowhere. God's dealing with my heart. That is something to me. That really is. But remember, memory, the memory course, or any memory course you become involved in, isn't an objective. I think this is sometimes where we miss it in our churches. I used to think when I was a kid that I memorized Scripture to please so-and-so, or that memory was a goal in itself. It isn't. Memory is a goal. Memory isn't a goal. It's a means of achieving a goal. It's a tool, a useful tool. Something that any one of us can use and use effectively. Personally, I found memory effective in victory over sin. Claiming promises. God, help me out of this situation. You know, give me the strength to overcome this temptation. Lord, what'll I do? What do I do now? Here's the problem. And the Holy Spirit brought a passage to mind, or some Scripture of mine that related. It's useful in growth. You know, you grow in everyday situations. That's where God deals with us. And that's where the Word comes in. And having the Word available in our thinking is helps in our growth. It's helping my growth. Witnessing. How many times have you been talking to a fellow and he's brought up something and you've said, well, I wish I could answer your question. Well, memorizing the scripture might enable you to do this. It might give you the tool. It might give you the resource to call upon. Teaching and preaching the word. Hebrews 13:5 wasn't included in my outline here. But as I was thinking about memory and the benefits, I thought, oh yeah, that verse, Hebrews 13:5, is a blessing to me. That's such time. Memorizing scripture. Bible study. Memorizing scripture helps you in your Bible study. Helps reveal to you or show to you how the rest of the Bible relates to the passage or topic that you're currently studying. The Holy Spirit can use this. Kind of a walking concordance. Can use it to bring passages to mind that relate. In fact, as Frank explained, the study we're going to do here, we're going to have one parallel passage on that passage, on the verse of Scripture we're studying. Knowing God's will. It's valuable in knowing God's will. Not just knowing God's will in terms of who will I marry and where will I work and the big decisions, but the small decisions. Should I do this or shouldn't I do this? The life-changing decisions. You know, the Scriptures, they don't tell you what to do. I never did find a verse that said, marry Carolyn Sperger. Probably never would have. But I found basic truths in the Scripture, basic passages, principles of operation. And having these things with you constantly, readily available, that's one of the advantages of memory. So it helps you in knowing God's will. Prayer and worship. How do you pray? Well, I found memory helpful in prayer. Knowing what to ask God for. I can quote passages on praise when I'm worshiping God. Quote His word back to Him. Honor Him with His own word. That's my experience with Scripture memory. I can highly recommend it. That if you aren't memorizing Scripture, I'd strongly advise you consider this. Prayerfully consider this is what God would have you do. Because it's a life-changing thing. It takes effort. It takes a great deal of effort. It takes a great deal of discipline. It takes a great deal of determination. But it pays off. Anything that is anything that's worthwhile, generally, costs. And this is true with the spiritual life.